saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not listening to this podcast, be sure to check out one of our others, like this one, The Grave Talks. Every week, I talk with individuals who've been affected quite intimately and personally by the supernatural. We hear their stories one-on-one in our conversations. In fact, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's 2 new episodes of The Grave Talks. And if you like it, just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe.
Today on The Grave Talks, Order of Exorcism, a conversation with Timothy Earle. Timothy Earle is an employee of the Advent International Order of Exorcists and reports directly to Archbishop James Cloud, Chief Exorcist. His adventure began in 1997 when he began collecting EVPs without any sort of ill intentions. Nevertheless, things moved fast in a different direction and his wife was subjected to a demonic assault. His life has been profiled in a number of documentaries and television series since. Today, we learned what it takes for an exorcist to take on a case and how he's been able to assist the living in escaping evil and how he's been able to do so successfully. Does the demonic attack those who are already mentally ill? Those questions and more we discuss with Timothy on The Grave Talks.
Well, it started in roughly 1997. My wife and I were foster parents. And, you know, I had a healthy interest in the paranormal. And we needed a way to entertain all these children. So we head out to the local haunts and with tape recorders and flashlights and, you know, started speaking into the night, so to speak. And we started getting responses. You know, we started coming home with EVPs. And mind you, this is the old days. This is analog. This is, cassette tapes. And so everything was still very in its infancy. Paranormal research and ghost hunting has gone back decades prior to that. However, the technology just was not really developed.
Sure.
And I started getting interested in it and engaging in it. And, I have to admit, we brought something home and it turned out to be a real negative experience for us. And unfortunately, my wife ended up getting the brunt of what it is this entity did. And it's her story. I won't go into details. But what it did was it actually sparked me to start researching a little deeper and getting into just what it is as far as tradition, what it is as far as research has been done up to date. And being born Catholic, we call it cradle Catholic, so I was born into the church. I already was, had a pre-programming into my belief system, which I still follow today for the most part. I found out that the information just really wasn't readily available to the typical layman. So myself, being a congregant of the local parish, I went to the priest and explained what happened and what was happening and my frustration about not being able to find anything. And what I did find with him is that the Catholic Church at the time, now this is in the 90s, so the Catholic Church at the time was very hesitant to engage in anything demonic of nature. Sure, there were exorcists. Sure, there were still ongoing cases, but there's few exorcists, and they're highly controlled at the archdiocese level. You didn't have access to them, so it'd have to be an escalation. And the bishop that we were under at the time had no inclination to engage in any such nonsense, so to speak. So I was left to my own devices. But this priest, and I will not name his name, did help me. Got me access to libraries that I normally wouldn't have access. He would request books to be sent to him, and I, of course, you know, would read them. So we engaged in what everybody would call spiritual warfare in a true sense with this entity, and ended up reigning successful. And having done so, the priest shared this information with another archbishop who gave me a call and had me on the phone for an hour in a recruitment call, trying to, you know, get me to sign up to assisting him and other priests. And at the time, bear in mind, I was also a licensed counselor. So I had, you know, some training, formal training as far as that's concerned, to be able to console people who are having problems with the supernatural. So I agreed to do so. And so with that, I mean, unfortunately, that archbishop and I have parted ways, but I've been doing it since. I'm working for the Advent International Order of Exorcists. I report to Archbishop James Cloud. He is our chief exorcist. And to be fair to you and everybody, I am a layman. I am not an ordained minister or deacon. I've been requested to do so. However, I just don't think that that's what my path is. So my abilities or my permissions or my authorizations are limited. I can perform exorcisms, but there's three types of exorcisms. So there's the simple, there's the major, and then there's the basic. So one everybody thinks about is the major exorcism, where somebody's possessed or partially possessed, and a priest or a bishop comes in and performs an exorcism, removing a spirit from the physical being. The simple exorcism is performing an exorcism on a place or object. That I can perform, and I'm supposed to get permission from the bishop or archbishop that I report to, but James Cloud, he just wants me to do it. He doesn't really want to be bothered so much. So I do perform simple exorcisms. And then a basic exorcism is actually a baptism is an exorcism. When you say the Lord's Prayer, that is actually a basic exorcism. So there's all sorts of smaller exorcisms that can be done in prayer that people do without realizing that they do it. So how this works is a person or a congregant will have a complaint that they're having issues with the supernatural. And of course, everybody's terrified. So it's automatically classified as demonic. Mm-hmm. The parish priests simply are not equipped to be able to run out to every time they receive a call. The exorcists are not either. They have parishional duties. They're the priests that you see serving mass, giving weddings. They're just, and I don't want to say they're average everyday Joe, because actual exorcists like of that nature are not average by any means. They're sought out, specifically picked, handpicked by the bishops, and for their demeanor, for their humble attitude towards God and Christ. And they live a specific lifestyle of pure, I'm trying to think of the word, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to find the word. Sure. They simply live a lifestyle of purity that you a regular priest would not, and then you or I would want. And there's reasons for that, which I'll get into.
Okay.
But So the complaint comes in, the priest will escalate it to his bishop. The bishop will call my bishop. My bishop will call me. You see how the circle goes. Mm-hmm. I get a case, and my role and responsibility is to go visit the people and find out what's really going on, right? So I could have a weekend of visiting up to five different families over 250 miles and then have 4 months of no activity. It's really strange. My job is to find out first and foremost what's really going on. And the educator will know a lot of this is especially when people are complaining that they're being attacked by demons. There's a lot of mental illness involved.
Sure.
Right. I am not a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist by any means, and I can't diagnose anybody, but I can identify that this is a situation where we need to steer them towards social services or whatever available resources would be in the region.
Let me ask you there, how receptive are people to that answer when they think, number one, they've someone's reached out with them saying, we think we need an exorcist. You show up and you realize, no, this person's like a borderline or something.
Right.
And you tell them, you can't diagnose them, but you're like, I really don't think you're possessed. I think you have mental health issues. Is that received? Oh, thank you. Or is it received more like, no, it's the devil.
So, some people know that they're on lithium.
Sure.
Know that they're on Seroquel at, nuts 900 milligrams to suppress them.
Yeah.
In fact, to point, there was even one poor gal who her brother was already diagnosed with a delusional disorder, and it was a schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And it's hereditary, and she was full flung into it. And she said she hadn't been diagnosed, but yes, she was medicated, but she hadn't been taking her meds. She was using meth instead because it was cheaper. She was adamant that she was being attacked and it wasn't her mental illness. So there's a lot of denial. The denial runs deep. However, it's real easy for me to say, look, I think that we need to see a doctor first, because if you're going to need a exorcism, the church will require a doctor's clearance. It's that simple.
Sure.
A priest is not going to go perform a major exorcism on a person for legal reasons, but it's also dangerous to perform an exorcism on somebody, because you're actually opening up that person's spirit or energy, to dive into it. And if there's nothing there, you could just be opening them up to allow something to come in. So there's good reasons for it, but there's many court cases involved where priests have been sued, churches have been sued of an overzealous priest performing an exorcism on somebody with a mental illness and then with a real negative outcome. Okay. So it's a check mark that has to happen.
Sure. So it's not necessarily good luck, we think you're sick. It's more so, we'd love to help you more, but first you need to go be evaluated and see what they say. And then it's up to them to take that step. And if they take that step, if the doctor says, yes, this is what we think is going on, then you can safely walk away and say, okay, now we know what that is. We hope you get the help that you need.
Absolutely. And if we do have a couple of, have a couple of psychiatrists. I'm sorry. They're both psychologists. I want to be clear about that.
Sure.
Who have completed these evaluations for me and given me reports. And of course, there's only so much they can share. And, personal possession is very rare. I've actually been in doing this for the past. So I actually started this in 97, right? And I think I've come across about 7 legitimate demonic possessions, mm-hmm. full or partial possessions. And what I would say is legitimate. But at the end of the day, the vast majority of it is going to be overactive imaginations, or they could have haunts that are human in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when we say the word demon, I mean, there's a lot of connotation to it. Everybody immediately goes to fallen angels, Satan and his army. But there's a lot of ways to define what a demon is. So, and if you're talking about the spiritual world, first off, there's more than one sect of fallen angels. There's multiple sects of angels that fell, watchers being another. They're described in the Book of Enoch, and it briefly mentioned in the Book of Genesis. And then they had children with human wives or human women, and those are the Nephilim. I'm sure you've heard that word.
Mm-hmm.
God smited the Nephilim. They were the giants that roamed the earth. God smited them and killed them all off in the flood. Well, they were human, so they had souls. All right, so they're still roaming around out there in the spiritual world, and we've run into them as well.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.